Chapter 7. We'd been marching through snowy terrain for over 3 hours, and most of the women and familiars were silent as we ventured closer to the mountain range. The air was frigid, and ice scraped along my cheeks as the wind bit into my skin and penetrated my bones.
How much longer until we reach the mountain path, Revna?
Nyx cried out over the screaming wind.
This storm seems to be picking up. Only a few more miles,
the wild woman called back over her shoulder.
Once we get on the path, the wind should calm down.
How so? Wouldn't it get worse?
No! The path is protected by a barrier we placed upon it many years ago. The wind will be strong and cold as death, but there won't be any violent storms to worry about.
When I glanced up at the steel-colored sky, I noticed thick black clouds spreading directly above us. The shrill, icy wind picked up, and it suddenly knocked us all off our feet and sent us flying backward. When I looked up, a heavy rock soared in our direction, and I rolled out of its way just moments before it could smash my head in. Then a crackling sound echoed in the sky, and it sounded like the shrill laughter of a woman, but that could have been in my imagination. Or it could have been Samara. At this point, it was growing more difficult to feel her presence.
Master!
Akira screamed as she struggled to get back on her feet.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I called back as I forced myself to stand up. But that was too damn close for my liking.
I'm sure it will calm down. We just need to push past the wind and avoid the rocks.
I think you're a little too optimistic, Revna.
Vanessa shrieked by my side.
This storm is going to be impossible to push through.
As she uttered those words, another giant boulder came soaring in our direction. But before it could hit any of the women, I whipped out my wand and aimed.
Intermissum!
The rock instantly shattered into hundreds of pieces, and we ducked as chunks of debris fell down upon us like heavy rain. Alexander and the other familiars dodged each rock, but it was growing more and more difficult for them.
Holy shit, Cole!
Alexander yelled in my head as he lowered his head to brace against the fierce winds.
I don't like this!
We have to do something!
Nyx hollered before Vanessa smashed another rock before it could destroy us.
Yeah, we need to stop the storm, I bellowed over the chaos. If not, we'll be crushed.
Agreed,
Vanessa said before she raised her wand and zapped another incoming boulder.
Ladies, form a circle. Revna and Akira, keep guard while we summon a steady wind.
The women and I quickly joined hands, but when we closed our eyes, it was difficult to block out the sound of stones smashing into bits and Akira and Revna shouting over the ear-splitting wind. The women were shaking as we held onto each other, and I could instantly feel their fear and reluctance as we bonded ourselves together. I knew they were concerned, and it was difficult for them to concentrate as we tried to summon Satan's eternal darkness.
Focus! I ordered as the women's hands trembled. We need to open our hearts and minds to sway the wind and calm the storm.
Yes, master.
My coven responded in unison. Suddenly, the women steadied themselves, and I could feel their willpower flooding through my body. I knew Vanessa noticed it, too, because in seconds, she tightened her grip on my hand and then raised her voice over the howling wind.
Recite the incantation.
Interficium carne mea mutata tempestate.
We cried out in unison. A jolt of fiery power coursed through my entire body, and for a moment I thought the sky had sent a lightning bolt in my direction. But I knew that wasn't it. No, something far deadlier was at work here, and I had a feeling it had something to do with Samara. I sensed her power like it was my own, and inside me the light was fighting against the darkness.
You can't defeat me.
Her voice seeped into my head like an unwelcome dream.
Why don't you just give up now?
Never, I growled. Again, I recited the incantation in my head, and another surge of blazing current swept through my body. Violent tremors flowed from my feet and up to my skull, but I gritted my teeth as I fought against the fierce sensation. Then, as the wind grew even more forceful, I growled under my breath and I willed the storm to settle and for the cascading rocks to come to an end with all my might.
Fight, Echo,
the woman from my dreams urged.
That's it. Push a little harder.
Without responding, I bit down on my lip, and even through the bitter cold, I could feel thick droplets of sweat trickling down my forehead and neck. I fought to keep my hands joined with the others, but I refused to let my hands or feet shake, even if it was colder than death. I whispered to Satan to come to our aid,
and help us push out Samara and summon tranquility. No matter how much energy it drained from me, I refused to let that woman win. All of a sudden, the wind came to a halt, and everything was steady. But when I slowly opened my eyes, I was shocked to see I was alone. Not only that, but there were no mountains or snowy peaks in view. Instead, I found myself in the middle of an abandoned and unfamiliar castle. It was in ruins, and I seemed to be standing in the center of a grand hallway, where paintings and tattered artwork hung on the walls in burnt frames. As I took a few steps forward, one picture in particular caught my attention, and even though it was mostly destroyed, I thought I could see a pair of familiar eyes looking back at me from the middle of the portrait. The eyes were a greenish silver-gray, and they bored into the very depths of my soul.
"Do you like what you see?"
a familiar voice asked from behind me, and I could feel her breath tickling my skin. "Samara," I growled before I slowly turned around to face the Elder Goddess. "What the fuck is going on? Where the hell am I?"
"I've brought you here to see just how far I'm willing to go to destroy you,"
she purred, and her full lips twitched into a smile.
"That painting over there you seem so fond of, do you know what it used to behold?"
"You. I can see your eyes. So fucking what?"
"Me and my family,"
she nodded.
"I was once part of a grand, wealthy Wicca family. We were almost considered royalty, you know."
How fucking commendable. I sneered. "What of it?"
"Are you not curious as to what happened to them?"
"Well, why do I feel like you're about to tell me?" I scoffed before I crossed my arms and looked deeper into her eyes.
"When I realized I was walking down the wrong path of life, God told me I would have to make a change."
She sighed before she brushed past me and stared intently at the tattered painting before her.
"He warned me my past would always be there to haunt me if I allowed it. So do you know what I did?"
"What?" I asked, even though I already knew the answer.
"I killed my past,"
Samara said before she whipped around and stared blankly into my eyes.
"I murdered my family. I plunged a dagger into every sister's heart and then burned this entire castle to ruins."
"Damn." I breathed as I shook my head. "How could you?"
"I had no choice. It was either them or me."
"That's what I'll never understand about you fucking people. You call us cold, heartless, and monstrous, which we are. But at least we take pride in it. You, on the other hand, seem to believe you're full of grace and love. But mark my words, your heart is blacker than mine. If I were you, I'd consider returning to your roots, for they are as dark as your soul, and quite frankly, all I see when I look at you is a lie."
"Be quiet,"
she snarled, and her two-toned eyes flashed.
"You have no idea what you're talking about."
"Oh, but I do. I can see how it tears at you. I can see the conflict in your soul."
"You know nothing,"
Samara screamed before she abandoned the painting and tried to walk away. But then the corners of the room seemed to be closing in on us. "See? You can't even escape yourself, can you?" Before she could respond, everything started to grow hazy as I felt my soul leaving this haunted place. But before I left for good, she turned to look at me with glassy eyes, and for a moment I felt pity for her. And to my surprise, a question popped into my mind. What if we could turn her back into a Wicca? There was no doubting she was powerful, and if we could harness that power for our side, this war would be all but over.
"You'll never be able to turn me,"
her voice echoed as I returned to reality.
"Never, Master!"
I heard the women's voices screaming at once.
"What's wrong with him, Professor?"
Suddenly, the snowy world came back into view. But for once, I was not on the ground or in a bed. I was still standing upright. And when I glanced around, the women were all looking up at me with distraught eyes and deep frowns. "What happened?" I asked as I studied everything around me. I realized everything had calmed down, and there was even a sliver of sunlight peeking through the steel clouds. The air was cold, but not stinging, and I thought I could even hear a few birds contentedly chirping above us.
"When the storm grew steady, your eyes suddenly became wakened,"
Revna said as she looked deeply into my eyes.
You just stood there like a ghost.
How long was I out for?
Perhaps 10 minutes.
Vanessa said as she cocked an eyebrow at me.
Was it a vision, or perhaps a warning?
Before I opened my mouth, I first considered my options. I could tell her the truth, but then I'd have to inform her about the sudden revelation I had. I knew this was not a discussion for now, since we still had to reach the mountain path before dark, so I decided to keep quiet for the time being. Not exactly. I think we'd better get a move on. Don't worry about it.
Master, are you sure? We can take a small break if you need it.
No, but thank you, Vesta. I'll be fine. Let's just go before another storm hits us.
Normally, I'd press you for more information. But you're right. Let's not take our chances. Come along.
Without further discussion, the women silently nodded before we headed up to the jagged mountain path. Revna quietly led the familiars and us up a narrow track, and soon we were trekking up the mountains. The air was bitter, but not unbearable, and everyone was quiet as the wild woman ensured we remained on the trail.
We should stop to make camp,
Revna suggested, once we came to the mouth of an open cave.
This should be safe, since we're still so low. Mountain elves, goblins, and other snowy creatures don't make a nest so close to the ground level.
Great.
Vanessa panted before she squinted toward the horizon, and even past the deep clouds we could see a bloody sun setting.
Traveling at night through the Galida mountain path is suicide. We're going to have to settle earlier from now on. I don't like the idea of cutting it this close to sunset.
I agree,
Revna said before she stepped into the mouth of the cave and peered inside.
Now let's start a fire. It will get even colder once the sun sets.
We stepped into the large cave, gathered everything we needed to make a small fire, and once we were all settled into a circle around a meager but warm blaze, the Wild Witch pulled out several wrapped-up boxes. Inside, there were strips of salted meat, blocks of cheese, and dried berries.
We'll only be eating 2 meals a day from now on,
Revna explained as she passed the food around.
It will only be safe to eat breakfast and dinner, and we need to keep our rations.
Oh, damn it!
Alexander pouted in my head.
Only 2? Is she serious?
Is there anything to hunt in case we do run out of food?
Morgana asked before she tossed a piece of meat toward Sylvia.
Perhaps some juicy veal?
Vesta suggested in a hopeful voice, while her silver snake curled around her neck, and then Ursula licked her lips with her forked tongue.
Or maybe even a plump goat. I saw some squirrels as we hiked up here, but not much else.
Faye said before she bit on her lower lip, and her ferret curled herself around her neck, too.
Don't worry. I'll be sure to keep an eye on rations. We won't go hungry. Not on my watch.
Excellent.
Vanessa sighed as she rubbed her palms and tried to keep warm by the fire. Isabel was close by her feet and nuzzling into her skirts.
Now, let's just eat and stop worrying about problems which haven't risen yet, shall we?
Yes, Professor. We answered simultaneously. As we quietly ate and tried to enjoy the salty and bitter boar, I knew someone was going to eventually break the tense silence. Then, when Cersei wiped her lips and sighed, I knew the blonde Wicca was the one to do it.
So, she
said as she looked around.
This is a bit of a tight space, huh? Not for long.
Vanessa smirked before she snapped her fingers, and suddenly the cave expanded to about 3 times its size.
Now everyone can have their own space to sleep peacefully. Or rather, should I say, Revna and I can have our own space to sleep quietly. Still, I've constructed enough tents in the back for everyone to sleep alone.
An awkward silence immediately filled the air, and while some Wiccas blushed, others just tried to stifle their giggles.
So, Revna.
Akira coughed with a half smile, and I knew it was her way to try and change the subject.
Do you have any neat tricks you could show us? Any wild spells?
I do know of 1 or 2.
Revna nodded.
I could show you, and perhaps we could play a little game while we do it.
What kind of game? I asked as I leaned closer to the fire.
Ugh, I despise games.
Vanessa sighed before she stood up and walked toward the back of the cave.
I'll set the tents up while you carry on with your juvenile shenanigans. Try not to be too loud. Isabel and I would like to get our beauty rest.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Alexander yawned in my head before he snatched the last piece of meat from my hand. Then my familiar flew up and soared toward the back of the cave, while the other familiars followed him.
Good night, Cole.
Good night, I said, as I watched Sylvia and Alexander curl up against each other while the other animals piled on.
Now that she's out of the way,
Akira whispered as she leaned closer, and there was a mischievous glint in her dark eyes.
Let's hear more about that game. How about we take turns teaching each other spells?
Revna suggested with a broad grin.
I'll tell you one, and in turn you explain another.
Sounds fun. I agreed, as I looked into Revna's bright silver-blue eyes. Do you want to start?
Sure.
The wild woman responded, before she twirled her wand between her fingers. Her eyes then fell upon her back, and we watched as she dumped all the contents out and aimed her wand at it.
Now, this first one is one of my favorites. It's meant to skin an animal alive, and sometimes, if you're powerful enough, it can work on humans too. All you have to do is flick your wrist and recite the words, Intus sunt.
Suddenly, her bag flipped inside out, and the women gently clapped and cheered before they glanced unknowingly at each other. Well, who wants to go next?
I will!
Morgana said as her hand shot up in the air, and she stretched out her fingers.
Pick me! Well, not a glass nerd. You're more than welcome to go first. Well, I'd like to tell her about a novice.
The bookish brunette said with a proud smile, and she demonstrated the proper wrist movement for the spell.
It will take an enemy's spell, no matter how powerful, and backfire it. Really?
The wild woman gasped with bright eyes.
That sounds incredible.
Oh, don't get too carried away. It will take a great amount of energy once you do, and you can't enact any magic for a full minute when you use it.
Oh.
The wild woman said as her eyes widened like saucers.
Well, that makes sense. Everything extraordinary always comes with a price. So, what other spells do you have up your sleeve?
Not so fast,
Faye said as she clicked her tongue.
It's your turn. Do you have any spells in particular that are good with animals? Well, there is one,
Revna said as she chewed her bottom lip.
It's not an easy one, and it requires a great deal of concentration. But I don't believe it would be difficult for any of you, and it's more of a charm rather than a spell.
Okay, so stop teasing us. Tell us what it is. I love charms.
Hold your centaurs. It's a simple incantation that temporarily gives you the gifts of any animal you can think of. For example, if I wanted to have venom coursing through my body, or if I wanted my soul to fly through the skies like an eagle, I'd utter the word, curet.
Wow.
Faye gasped with eyes as wide as dinner plates.
I've never heard about such charm. It's something wild witches have kept to themselves for years. All right, now it's your turn. Tell me of another spell. How about something like the one you used back there? I've never seen someone change storms the way you did.
There's a premonition spell I think you would love. It's meant to penetrate the minds of others and torture them until they tell you whatever information you need for them.
Oh, by Satan.
The wild woman grinned.
What is it? How does it work?
Well, it works best when you can place your hand on their flesh, I explained. And then, once you feel you've penetrated into their deep subconscious, you utter the words, secretum mentis.
And then they will spill whatever secrets you're searching for?
Yup. I smirked, although sometimes you need to be careful. If you rest your hand on them too long, their brains will literally explode. So, depending on how long you need them alive, you'd best do it little by little.
Yeah. One time when we snuck into a treacherous warlock school, Cole used it on one of the students. I swear, his head burst open like a melon when we were done with him.
Ah. The wild witch nodded.
I'd see.
I'd show you how it's done, but honestly, it's an excruciating process.
Perhaps one day you'll be able to see it in action.
Akira remarked with a savage grin.
At least I hope so. Anyway,
Faye yawned before she stretched out her arms.
I think it would be best if we got some sleep. We'll be up early, I imagine. Very early,
Revna said as she nodded her head.
At the crack of dawn. Well, I best get my beauty rest.
Vesta purred before she stood up and dusted her skirts.
Good night, everyone.
As a handful of women got up and headed to their own quarters, I craned my neck to look at the back of the cave. I see Vanessa really did decide to place individual tents all around the cave. Clearly she doesn't want any fooling around.
Well,
Beatrix said with a lopsided grin as she looked between Cersei, Nyx, and Marina.
That doesn't mean we can't sneak into your tent for a little fun, right, Master? What she doesn't know won't hurt her.
Before I could respond, the women began to undress by the fire, and as I stared at their full breasts and naked curves, I could feel searing blood rushing down south. Then I bit my lip and grunted as they slowly stood up and all sauntered naked into a tent in the very back of the cave. Without further hesitation, I followed them inside, and at that moment, I didn't give a fuck if we didn't get one wink of sleep.